See your Bibles this morning? Word. Let's see your pens. Let's lesson plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, baby. Got some excited folks up in the house. Who's the man this morning?
Jesus.
You're like, what are those people so excited about? Yeah. Jesus in the house. Today we start a series that's going to be about three, four years long. We're going to go through the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving Earth. Amen. It is right before 10 o'clock. We're going to take communion at 10:30, so we have a lot to go through. Let me say this as briefly as I can. I am going to give you a personal guarantee. This is from God, not me, but I'm going to also put my name in there because if God's saying it, it's true, that if you do the few things that we ask you to do, you will not only learn the Bible, but your life will change dramatic. What was I trying to say? Drastic and dramatically. Okay, dramatic. That's a new word. We just created a new word. You know, my daughter, she's writing down all the words that I say wrong, like earth, E-R-F, and that's a new one, dramatically. And so here's what I want you, if you have just some empty space in the back of your lesson, but you can write this down. I want to encourage you to come every week that you're in town, be a regular churchgoer, but listen to the sermon, get the CD, and do the lesson plan. Any questions you have in the lesson plan, go look up the question, okay? Someone says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. I can make a horse drink water every time. Every time. How? I run it around in the hot sun every day, all day long. And all I have to do is bring the horse near water, and it will take me to the water and drink. What does that mean? Is that if you come here and you leave here with questions, go look them up, okay? Get the CD. Prepare for all the quizzes. We're going to have about 10 quiz questions on the internet every week. The answers are going to be there. And then every month or so, we're going to ask you 10 questions or so on the screen like we did a few weeks ago. And you're not going to know which 10. Obviously, you're not. But if you learn them all, you'll be covered. You're going to learn about 500 and something facts. It's going to be about 10 a week. That's 520, right? All through the year. And if you learn all those facts, it's going to lead you to look up about 500, I don't know, a whole lot more. Because you're going to keep learning and keep learning and quiz each other. Get in a small group. In the small group, they're going to go over all this stuff. We're going to learn the Bible, okay? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be communicating that to you, and it's your job to get it. You will not learn the Bible nearly as well if all you do is come here and listen to me. If all you do is come here and listen to me, you're going to be upset that you don't know more than you do. It never works that way. There's no pastor on the planet Earth that's ever lived that can talk to you for 45 minutes or 40 minutes a week and you learn the Bible. That just ain't going to happen. You have to go home and read yourself. So I want you to get in the mode of learning all week, reading every day. Read this lesson plan after today. Read it again. Just it's very simple, okay? Okay, before we start reading, let's look at our notes real quick. Let's put some letters in here. Numbers. First it says there are a total of how many books in the Bible? Everyone say 66. Write down 66. 66 books in the Bible. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Old Testament's 39. New Testament is 66 minus 39. Carry the one. 27. Okay, how many books in the Bible?
66.
This is quiz time. How many books in the Bible? How many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? Very good. First five books of the Bible. I'm going to give you two words. There are many ways to describe them. One is Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Torah, and Pentateuch, P-E-N-T-A, Penta, like five, pentagram, T-E-U-C-H. Okay, let me give you the first five books of the Bible. Write down Genesis. Genesis. We're going to learn all the books of the Bible in order. Genesis. Write down Exodus. Write down Exodus. Leviticus. 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 Numbers. Numbers. And then the fifth one is Deuteronomy, D-E-U-T-E-R, D-E-U-T-E-R-O-N-O-M-Y. Okay, look at those words you just write down, and I want you to ask you this. What's the first book?
Exodus.
Second book?
Exodus.
Third book?
Exodus.
Fourth book?
Numbers.
Fifth book?
Deuteronomy.
One more time. First book?
Exodus.
Second book?
Exodus.
Third book?
Exodus.
Fourth book?
Numbers.
Fifth book?
Deuteronomy.
One more time. Genesis? Second book,
Exodus.
Third book,
Exodus.
Fourth book,
Numbers.
Fifth book.
Deuteronomy.
This is like school. Exactly. Everyone look up here. First book,
Exodus.
Second book,
Exodus.
Third book,
Exodus.
Fourth book,
Numbers.
Fifth book.
Deuteronomy.
How many books in the Bible?
5.
I know you're gonna be like, okay, 66. you're gonna be talking to someone and they're gonna say, how many kids do you have? 66. That's cool. Okay, listen. It is critical for us to understand one thing. Genesis is the book of beginnings. God in Genesis created all things, we're gonna see. And matter of fact, let's write these things down. In Genesis, what began in Genesis? Okay, you can say the creation of all things. The creation of all things. And I'll talk while you're writing. In Genesis, God created all things. Also write down, life was created. Life. Marriage. Marriage. Family. Sin. Death. Life, family, sin, death. You can keep going, okay, and we're going to look at more and more and more and more. But here's a critical thing to know. As Christians, we have to decide, did God write this book and did he establish and create these things and more in Genesis, thus establishing their purpose? God established a man. He established and created his relationship with a woman. He created sex. He created the institution of family. He created all these things, and he established why they exist. What our society in America and in the world is doing is saying, no, this doesn't apply. We are going to redefine all those things. We're going to redefine the family. I think I heard, and I'm not sure, but I think I heard Rosie O'Donnell say the other day she was thanking her wife for supporting her in a trial. I may be wrong in that because I heard, wife and I said that in America, the family can be a man and a woman or a man and a woman. God said, no, you don't understand. I established from the beginning all these things and more we're going to look at. And what our country and world is doing is saying, no, because truth is relative and this is irrelevant, let's reestablish what these things mean. As Christians, we cannot allow that to happen to us and our families. Now, we may not stop the world from doing it, but you have to understand that when you learn that in school, and that you learn in school that no, God didn't do this, you are a result of science. You evolved from something. You have to say, no, what did the Bible say? Now, if this is not established in your heart, then the rest of the Bible is like this. If you cannot believe and buy into this, you won't be able to believe and to buy into everything else in the Bible. That's why Genesis is critical for you to understand. Because everything in the Bible is based on what happened in the beginning. Because what God, I want you to listen to this carefully, what God started in Genesis, man ruined in Genesis chapter 3 in sin, and the whole Bible story is a story of how God's going to restore what he did in Genesis. He's going to restore it in Revelation. I'm going to say that again. In Genesis, God started something, set something in motion. Man messed it up by sinning. It's all part of God's plan. And then the whole Bible is a story about how God is going to redeem us back and put us back into what happened in Genesis, where he walked with man. The whole Bible's connected. So what we're going to see began in Genesis is going to be restored in Revelation. Revelation is the what number book in the Bible? The 66th book. It's the last book. There's 66 books. Okay? And so we're going to see we have to understand why Genesis is so critical, because it is the foundation of the whole Bible. It is the foundation of your existence. If you don't believe this, and if the world can get you to doubt this, which we're going to see Satan did in chapter 3, if the world can get you to doubt this, then everything else in the Bible is shaky. Everything else in the Bible is negotiable. I don't have to believe that either. It may not be true. That's what the devil wants you to believe, to know, or to think, that this is not reliable. This is 100% reliable. This is God's word. Okay? So let's look at our notes real quick. It says, what began in Genesis? The creation of all things. We did that already. Let's read. Let's read real quick. It says, verse 1, chapter 1. I'm going to read kind of fast. Matter of fact, we did a series 8 weeks long on Genesis chapter 1 only, and it was called Who's Your Daddy? And it was on evolution and creation. We will have that at the bookstore. We can get it the next over a few weeks as we go through this. Is your daddy the devil, an ape, or is your daddy God? Did you evolve from an animal, or did God create you? That's a question. If you evolve from an animal and you're and you're a result of evolution, you're a mistake. Guess what? Your thoughts are a mistake. Your purpose is a mistake. You are a mistake. Why obey anybody? But if God created you, then you have someone to whom to be accountable. It's a total different angle. So if you believe in evolution, then this doesn't apply to you. This don't apply to you. Guess what? You're going to die and rot in the ground. So why even obey any law? Why not murder? Why not rape? Why not steal? Because there's no lawgiver. Laws change. Man changes. But if there's an absolute lawgiver and an absolute God, then it's a whole different story. You can't believe both. You can't believe both. At least biblically, you can't believe both. You may think you believe both, but you may be schizophrenic. But you can't believe both. Has to be one or the other. So let's look real quick. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everyone say God. God. Let me real quick. The heavens was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The earth was all water. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light is the only thing God created that he said he was. In 1 John 1:5, God says, God is light. Okay, just think about that. It says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, it was good, and God divided the waters from the waters. By the way, if you really want to learn the Bible, anytime I say a verse or something like that, just write it down. Go check it out later, see if I'm telling you the truth. See, maybe he lied to me. Let me see if this is really in here. Okay, and you look it up, memorize it. Wow, I learned God is light. Okay, look at verse 5. God called the light day and darkness, and the darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. Some people say that God created the heavens and earth over billions of years. Again, we did a whole sermon on that, but I'm just going to give you this little nugget. You're going to see six times God said evening, morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. What is he talking about? Billions of years? He's talking about days. I tell my kids, clean your room. Okay, you want me to clean your room? Clean your room. I didn't understand. Clean your room. You want me to clean your room? Is that my bed? Clean your room. You can tell it to them over and over again, and they think something else. Why? Because they're crazy. So are we if we read evening, morning, day and night, day and night, day and night, and say he's meaning billions of years. No, he's not. Let's look at what it says in verse 6. God said, there, let the firmament in the midst of the waters, and let them divide the waters from the waters. And God saw, made the firmament, or the sky, and divided the waters and which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, or our sky. And so evening and morning were the second day. Why does he say evening and morning and morning? And why does he say evening and morning and not morning, evening? To us, a day starts in the morning, ends at night, right? In the Jewish community, it starts in the evening and ends in the morning. God, he knows what he's talking about. Junior, verse 9. Verse 9, it says, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the land earth, E-R-F, and the gatherings he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Is the land called earth today? It's not a trick question. Is the land called earth today? Are the waters called seas and oceans and rivers? Okay, very good. Just like God said. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, fruit trees that yield according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And God brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, a tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself and to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Do we see that Bermuda grass makes Bermuda grass? Apple trees make apples. Avocado trees make avocado trees. Do we see that? Do we see that tomatoes make tomatoes? Yes, it's not a trick question. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Very good. We see these things happen according to God. Y'all, I know y'all just wait for me to ask you that, right? You got it written down, 666666. God made things according to their kind. He made humans according to their kind. He didn't make, watch out now, white people according to their kind, black people according to their kind, Hispanic people according to their kind, Asian people. He made man according to its kind. Ah. Amen. Verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Everyone say day from night. Let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night. Let there be for signs, seasons, for days and years. What are those lights? Stars, sun, moon. What do you say? I'm going to put the sun, the moon, and the stars so you can know days, years, months, and seasons. Day is when the sun comes up. Night's when the moon comes up. The stars will tell you the season, where you're at. The moon will tell you what part of the month it is. Let's keep reading. I'll show you that in a minute. It says, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens or the sky to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, and days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament in the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so, and God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. He's talking about the greater light in the day. What's that? The sun. The lesser light in the night. What's that? Moon and the stars also. Is that clear or unclear? That's what we see. Do the sun and the moon dictate night and day? Or does the sun and the moon dictate billions of years each? Sun and the moon. And look what it says. Look what it says. It says in verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give the light on the earth and to rule the day and the night. How many times has he said that already? Three or four times, rule the day and the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And it was so, and it was good. So evening and morning were the fourth day. He's talking about days. He's talking about night. He's talking about day. He's talking about darkness. He's talking about light. He's talking about moons. He's talking about stars. This is all we see today. This is what he did. What he said. It is what he did. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you're ever reading the Bible, you might want to write this term down, and you could look it up on the internet. You'll see an interesting video. New, N-E-W, moon. You see in the Bible that sometimes people will celebrate the new moon. If you go on the internet and you look up new moon, they will show you a time-lapse video of what the cycles the moon goes through in 1 month. A moon cycle is 30 days. That's where we get our month, 29.5 days. If you go outside tonight and you look at the moon, I don't know what it's going to look like today because I didn't look at it yesterday, but there's a cycle of the moon. Here's a cycle. We'll start with a full moon. One day of the month, you have a full moon where all the light of the sun is shining on the moon. That's why you see it full. There's no shadow from the earth. And then the next day, it'll be a little less full. You'll see 3/4, 7/8 of a moon. Next day, a little less. Next day, you see half the moon. Next day, a little less, where you see just a sliver of the moon. Are you following me? You ever see this? If you follow the sun, the moon, it'll go through a cycle where it goes from full moon down, down, down to where you see no moon at all. That's a new moon. And then the next day or so, you'll see a little more moon, a little more moon, until you get a full moon again. And then it goes down, 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 up, up, up. Are you following me? So the shadow from the sun, the shadow of the earth, and the shadow puts on the moon dictates how much the moon you see. And so that cycle is every month. You could watch it. If you go out today, between today and tomorrow, you'll know if it's becoming a full moon or a less moon. You'll see either a little less moon tomorrow or a little more. Then you'll see if it's a little more tomorrow, the next day it'll be a little more, next day it'll be a little more, until you see a full moon, and then it'll go a little less, a little less, a little less, till you see no moon. The no moon is a new moon. You just went through a whole month. God did that. And if you go into the internet, just put in new moon, and you'll have to find it because I don't have the address. They'll show you this, all these different phases of the moon. Now, when you ever hear the term once in a blue moon, every 2.5 years, there's two full moons in 1 month. That's what that means, because it's every 29 and a half days that this happens. It's all in the Bible. I mean, not the blue moon thing, but the new moon, the whole thing that we talk about how the stars. What's interesting is that God made the sun on day four. What day did he make light? First day. That's a contradiction. Well, it's a contradiction if you believe that light comes from the sun only, or if you believe that light and creation of light was from evolution and not God. God created light, not the sun. And then you have to ask yourself, who created the sun? Well, light that's coming from these bulbs are not lights. The light is coming from the bulb. A light is a photon. The smallest unit of a light is a photon. It goes 186,000 miles a second, and it's bouncing all around this room right now. God created light as an expression and a vehicle to see his glory. How do we know this? Because in Revelation 21, we're going to see that in a few minutes, there is no need for the sun because he is our light. Now watch this. He created light on day one, and there was morning and evening. Day one, morning and evening, evening and morning, day two, evening and morning, day three, light and darkness for 3 days without the sun. He wanted us to understand he is the source of light, not the sun. That's just one thing I think anyway. But if you go to Revelation, it says there was no need for the sun anymore. God is our light. Jesus is the light of the world. Guess what the Bible says that you need to be? Lights in a dark world. Why? Because you are an expression of his glory. So when you walk in a room and there's people walking around all depressed, discouraged, addicted, and you're like, wait a minute, there's a God. Are you following me? God is, he knows what he's talking about. Okay, so let's keep reading. Keep reading. It says in verse 19, the evening and morning were the fourth day, and God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living things, creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind. Dolphins make dolphins. Whales make whales. Nothing evolves into a different kind. Evolutionists would like you to believe that one kind can produce another kind. It has never, ever happened. If you believe in evolution today, I want you to ask your professor, and if you're a professor, ask yourself, has any kind ever produced another kind? No. So evolutionists want you to believe that you evolved from a different kind, from many different kinds, from a little amoeba to a crustacean to a jellyfish to a reptile. I may be getting these wrong. It doesn't matter, but this, the point is the same, to some amphibian animal. Then you crawled, you started walking, and now you can think and create. That is so ridiculous. It's never been observed. Science is the gathering of knowledge through experimentation and observation. That has never been observed. It goes against everything that science proves to be true. God created you according to the kind. And by the way, the fossil record, which a lot of evolutionists and scientists look to know what happened in the past, the fossil record 100% verifies things according to their kind in existence. And what they call it, they say in the fossil record that living creatures appeared fully formed. And suddenly, in other words, all of a sudden, there was a man bones. All of a sudden, there was a bird bones. There was nothing in between. So these, when they say that a bird turned into or a reptile turned into a land animal, there's no evidence scientifically of what's in between the reptile and the land animal. They say, and this is not necessarily true of these two animals, but a crocodile became a cow. I'm not saying they did say that, but something that lived in the water all of a sudden lived on land. Well, there's no animal, there's no evidence of that animal exists. None. And again, we'd go through all this in that series. My point is this, that God made reptiles. He made land animals. He made birds. And all those species from the beginning of time till today all multiply only in their kind. Can't do it any other way. Why? Because they all have different chemistry. God created chemistry. Yes, Lord. He's saying, right on, brother, right on. Verse 22, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply in the earth. And so evening and morning were the fifth day. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creepy things according to its kind, every beast of the earth according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. Why does he keep saying according to its kind over and over and over again? Just so some knucklehead wouldn't say that didn't happen. According to his kind. Okay, God, we got it. No, you don't, because someone's going to tell you that this didn't happen. They're going to call it evolution, and you're going to believe them. Because you don't believe me. He's establishing right here in the first book of the Bible where we all come from. He's establishing right here in the Bible our relationship with each other. He's establishing right here in the Bible according to its kind. And then look what it says in verse 25. God made the beasts of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the ground. All the creeps he made according to his kind, and it was good. Verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Everyone say our. Say us. God. Let us make man according to our image. Who's us and who's our? Who's he talking about? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hey, Jesus, you know, let's make man in our image. Let's look in your notes. We looked at what began in Genesis. Everything. We looked at that. Who began Genesis? Genesis 1:1. Write down the word Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. Elohim. Means God, but it is a plural form of the word God. That's why it says us and we, let us make man in our image. It is a plural form. The him at the end is a plural form of the word God. I'm going to say it again. It is a plural form of the word God. Why? God wanted you to know that there's more, that there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we would learn through the Bible. Let us make man in our image. When God said he's going to make you in his image, he did not make any other animal in his image. He did not give any other animal or creature the ability to seek him, the ability to know him, the ability to communicate with him, or be communicated to by him. He didn't give any other animal or creature the ability to reflect his glory, to love, to care, to forgive, to encourage, to do the things that he can do. Not everything he can do, but some of the things he can do. And here he is in heaven, Father, Son, Holy Spirit says, we're going to create all this, and we are going to make this creature that's like us. And so we can communicate to this creature and love this creature and communicate through this creature. You are that. You were not made in the image of an animal. You were not made in the image of a higher level of an evolved primate. God made you the way you are in his image from the day one. Day one. We've never seen any other animal ever have the abilities we have that God has given us. We are superior to them. God tells us right here. We have intelligence they don't have. We have the ability to reason and create things like no one else, no other creature can. They're very limited. And so whenever you start feeling bad about yourself, you oh, I messed up. Oh, yeah, you're a sinner. But God still made you in his image. You saw the 97-year-old Iranian woman, who was pulled from the rubble. I mean, I'm guessing has been exposed to Islam all her life. I'm guessing on that. God made her in his image. God made Saddam Hussein in his image. God made everybody you see on TV, everyone see in your neighborhood, all little kids in his image. I just met two little kids out back, 2 years old, 4 years old, two foster kids with their foster mother. I got such a pain, physical pain in my heart looking at these two little kids thinking they're not with their mother. And God says, I made them in my image too. I am in them. You, God said this. He says, don't let anyone trick you. You're in my image. Look what it says in verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us according to our likeness. if you look at the word likeness and image, we are the likest image of anything he made. What does that mean? That we are more like his image than anything he ever made. You're the most like God than anyone ever could see. Then look what it says. It says, let them have dominion. Write down dominion in your notes. Dominion
over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creep that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image he created him, male and female. Both men and women are created in God's image. Both men and women. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Say fruitful and multiply. And you can write that down also. Be fruitful and multiply. I was watching, there's a commercial out with the guy from Jack in the Box, with the big head. And he's in bed with his wife. Y'all see this commercial? And she says to him, honey, can you make me happy? And can you make a chicken taco something? I don't know what it is. Grande, whatever. And he's like, honey, consider it done. And then he says, honey, you want me to be happy too, right? And what he's saying is that God put it in me to be fruitful and multiply. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Big old bubblehead looking brother. Verse 27, God created man his own image. In the image he created him, male and female. God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that creeps on the earth. And God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. Every tree who yields seed according to it shall be for food. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And God saw everything that he made, and it was very good. Evening and morning were the sixth day. Couple of notes. God created us to have dominion over the earth, the birds, the fish, the animals, the creeps. But not people. Say it again. God said, I'm going to give you dominion. I want you to subdue the earth, and I want you to have dominion over the fish, the birds, the creeps, the cattle. But not people. What does that mean? God doesn't want us to subdue and control people. We were all made in similitude to God. Who are you to control me or me to control you if God made you in his image? God says, I want you to subdue the earth and the animals, but not other people. And so many times we're so caught up in who we can control, who we can step on, who we can take advantage of. That's the world's mindset. That's the survival of the fittest evolution Darwin mindset. It's not the Bible mindset. He established it all right here. We're supposed to love people, encourage people, put people first, esteem others better than ourselves. What do we learn outside of church? Put people down. Hold people down. Get ahead. Lie, cheat, steal. Control. Freeze people out. I was watching a show on ESPN, Kurt Warner. You know, he was the MVP of the league twice, Super Bowl MVP. He went from being in a grocery store to playing arena football to being on top of the football world. Now he's on the bench. And the coach said, well, Kurt Warner is not a vindictive type person. He's a strong man of God. And he says, you know, it's not like me to be vindictive and be divisive and cause a cancer on the team. I'm there to encourage now. I don't like being on the bench, but I'm going to encourage people. See, he could have said, no, I'm going to divide. I'm going to conquer because it's my dominion. I'm going to have dominion over this team. I'm going to cause disruption on this team. And the coach says that they would not be where they are in the playoffs if Kurt didn't do what he did by being an encouragement, by being positive, by following the Bible. By following the Bible. What? It's not my right to have dominion over this team. It's not my right to have dominion over that guy who took my job. That's not my right. That's not my biblical right. Now, the devil can tell me I could try to do that. My biblical right is to encourage, to be inclusive. God brought me up, and God bring me down. It's all up to God. It's not up to me. And so God says, I'm going to give you dominion over things. I'm going to give you dominion over environments. If you're an employer today, your job is to have dominion over the environment, but not the people. Create an environment where the people can win because they were created in the image of God. Let God create an environment where people, the image of God can shine through people. That's our job. It's all right here. And that's why it's so important for us to understand this book, because when you go outside and you go to the work world and you go to school, the world's not going to teach you anything that reflects this. It's going to be close, but it's going to be a distant. It's not going to be correct. Let's look at our notes. How did God create things? It says God bara, B-A-R-A. Do you have that in your notes? Basically, that means something created from nothing. Something created from nothing. Only God creates something from nothing. In order for you to create anything, you have to have something. You have to have wood. You have to have, you know, people. You have to, God says, I don't need anything. Now, some people will say, if you ever get in a discussion, well, who created God? You ever hear that question? That's a good question. If God created everything, who created God? Because okay, you got me there. Well, who created God? Follow me on this. This is deep. How many books in the Bible? Okay, good. I got your mind. All right. What's the first book? What's the last book? Very good. What's the second book? Very good. There was nothing. God said, let there be the heavens, the earth, water, man, everything. And he created what we know as the universe. Everything we know, we'll just say it's the universe, everything in it. He created it, okay? So he created the universe, and we're going to say this piece of paper is the universe. The Bible says that God stretches out the heavens. Scientists believe that the galaxies in the universe are expanding at the speed of light. That's a whole other thing. The Bible says God stretches out the heavens. The scientists, astrologers think that the galaxies are going out at the speed of light in all directions, that the universe is expanding. Well, the Bible says God's doing that. Well, it can't be true. Well, it's happening, ain't it? Well, it can't be true. That's how big God is. Watch this. God made the universe, and he's stretching it out. And in the universe, inside this piece of paper, are laws that guide us, chemistry, physics, astrology, biology, numerology, psychology, endocrinology, et cetera, et cetera. All these disciplines and scientific disciplines govern how this piece of paper works. Gravity, time, space, physical matter. It's all part of what we know as everything, but it's not everything. It's just what we know of everything. Are you with me? So God says, I'm going to create this. I'm going to put laws and that are going to govern how this operates. I'm going to spin the earth. It's going to spin forever until I stop it. I'm going to throw this stuff in rotation and how the stars are going to come up in their season, the Maseroth, the Zodiac, and it's going to come up, boom, boom, all the time. I'm going to set all this stuff. I'm going to send stars around planets, moons around, whatever the hell, how he does it, and it's going to go. I'm going to set the sun on fire, whoosh, and it's going to burn out one day. And you're going to see it burn out. And you're going to see it lose energy, scientists, if you study it. So he did all that. He stepped back. The laws, the scientific laws that apply to this piece of paper and everything in it that I just described don't apply to him. He's outside of it. You didn't get that. You didn't get it. I got to say it again. See, we know math, we know physics, we know chemistry, we know all that stuff. And we say, well, if something created us, then who created him? Those principles that apply to us do not apply to him. Because he's outside of what he created. He's the uncreated creator. You want to write that down. He's the uncreated creator. The principles that apply to us. You ever hear when you're a kid, Mommy, how come you get to stay up to 11 and I can't? Because I'm older. That's not fair. You're right. Go to bed. What applies to the kids don't apply to the dad. Don't apply to the mom. When you become a dad and a mom, when you get older to do things that I can't see on your own by yourself, then you could do that. Guess what? What applies to God don't apply to us. He's the uncreated creator. So all the principles that apply to us don't apply to him. Now, I'll give you, I know my time's running out. We got to take communion. I'm going to say this. God, the Bible says God is light, right? Light is the only thing that God said he was, that he created, that he said he was. Light, at the speed of light, time stops. Speed of light, time stops. That means light is ageless. You can travel at the speed of light, you wouldn't age. Okay? That's a mathematical theory. Well, God has no time. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's one of his names is the ageless one. He has no time. He's outside of what we call reality. Now, I know it's kind of scientific out there. Why? Because God is out there. You ever ask yourself why heaven is not more described in the Bible? Because you wouldn't understand it. We wouldn't understand it. So here we have this uncreated creator. He's telling you, here's what I made. Here's a little bottle I put y'all in. Think about it. But I'm not in that bottle. Those rules don't apply to me. I'm beyond. Now, I can submit myself to them. Jesus did. He came and submitted himself to the rules biology and physics. That's why he died on the cross. But then he rose from the dead. You can't do that, can you? He says, okay, enough playing games. I'm getting up. Let's look at your notes. Look at your notes. Why did God begin it all? For man to walk with God. We just wrote down, have dominion, subdue the earth. You could just circle those and draw a line down there later. To man to walk with God and have dominion. What destroyed it? What destroyed the plan? Genesis 3. We're going to look at that in a few weeks. Man sinned. Man sinned. Again, we'll look at that in a few weeks. What will restore it? God's plan for salvation, the Bible story. What it will look like. Turn to Revelation chapter 21 real quick. Revelation 21. What number book in the Bible is Revelation? Revelation 21. And before I tell you that, right before that it says, what will restore it? God's plan of salvation. Watch this. In Genesis, God created everything. Man sinned. The whole Bible is God's plan of redemption and restoration to get everything back to where it was. And he's going to do that in Revelation. Okay, watch this in chapter 21. It says in chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these things are true and faithful. One of Jesus' names is faithful and true. I am. He said, he said to me, it is written, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of the life freely to him who thirsts. To he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people. I ain't going to make it again. I'm not going to make communion, so let's just keep going then. I'm sorry. I tried. Okay, lastly, at the very end. What it will look like? No more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. That which begins in Genesis will be completed in Revelation. As we go through, I would love for you to think critically about everything you hear. In other words, if you have a question, go look up the answer. If you have a disagreement, go develop your argument. That's how you learn. And so all the stuff we're going to talk about every week, look it up. Go look up these verses. Go ask the Bible questions. That is how you are going to learn. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's do a quiz before we go. Sit up straight. Put your notes away. You know it. I'm telling you, you know it. Your brain has already got it. I'm going to tell you a quick, very quick story. If you ever take a speed reading class, what they teach you in speed reading class is they teach you, and you can only do it by practice. John? They can only do it by practice, is they teach you for your eyes to look at words quicker than you can say them. You ever see people reading a word like that? Your eyes look at the words, and your brain takes a picture of those words and comprehends those words quicker than you can say them with your mouth. What is the point of me telling you that? That your brain is amazing. It's amazing. So all the stuff I just said about the five books, you already know it. Your brain knows it. You just don't think you do. So everyone look up here. How many books in the Bible?
66.
What's the last book?
Revelation.
What's the first book?
Genesis.
What's the second book?
Genesis.
What's the third book?
Genesis.
What's the fourth book? What's the fifth book? How many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? How many kids do you have? your body fat? 66%. No, I'm sorry. 2%. That ain't it either. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, your Bible tells us a lot. And one of the things it tells us is that it's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. It's going to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that everybody here will realize that today as they're walking around talking about this, as they hear 66 ringing in their mind, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, I pray that they would realize that's the Holy Spirit saying, don't forget. Don't forget these things. And I pray when they feel themselves wanting to look at these notes, wanting to read the Bible again, wanting to see if these things be true, that that's the Holy Spirit. It's not our interest. The Word of God is living and active. It's going to stir our hearts to learn, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Lord, I pray that when we realize and acknowledge that, that we would respond out of obedience and do what the Bible, what the Holy Spirit's prompting us to do. And I pray every day this week we would learn these things, study these things, read these things. And as next week we look at the rest of the Genesis story, that you would teach us some more. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing. If you read ahead, you're going to see that there's another Genesis story in chapter 2. And you're going to read that story, and if you look at the story in Genesis 1, they're going to look like they contradict each other. Go home and read it. Read Genesis 2 and then read Genesis 1 and say, you know, these stories aren't the same. And then I'll tell you next week why. Go ahead and read that. Okay? Let's stand and sing a song.